2 weeks ago, an international collaboration of scientists published an unprecedented breakthrough in the field of human genetics. Scientists have successfully grown models of early-stage human embryos using adult skin cells. Okay, and while this development is very exciting and sounds like something you might see in a science fiction film, the field of genetics carries the weight of decades of ethical questions around it. Dr. Megan Munsey is the Professor of Ethics and Policy in Stem Cell Research at the University of Melbourne. She's also the Head of Ethics, Education, Law and Community Awareness at UNIT at the Stem Cells Australia Initiative. And she's joining us this morning to talk about this new development and some of the questions surrounding it. Megan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Willie. Delighted to join you.
How do you make model human embryos from skin cells? And bearing in mind, obviously, keep it very high level. We're not all scientists.
I think it's really quite fascinating that we've been able to develop techniques that change how our body cells, our skin cells, act in the laboratory. So you might remember years ago we were using a technique called somatic cell nuclear transfer. And that's, again, a complicated term, but simply means that we were using the cytoplasm of an egg to change how a cell can develop. And really, that was the first proof of concept. That was about 20 years ago. It was actually the same technology that was used to make Dolly the sheep.
I was going to say, yes, I remember Dolly the sheep vividly. Yeah. Okay.
And in fact, that's what I did my PhD on.
Amazing.
But what was really interesting from a biological perspective is that you could, given the right circumstances, you could kind of flip the fate of a cell. Now, that hadn't happened in mammals before. We knew you could do that in other species. But that was kind of the start of this area. And what my colleagues have done more recently is to be able to change the technique. No longer do they need to use the factors in an egg cytoplasm. They can just do this in a laboratory dish using some, culture techniques. So exposing the cells to particular factors, changing how they grow in the lab, and they can kind of self-assemble into these 3D structures that look a lot like those very early stages of embryonic development.
That sounds quite phenomenal. Now, how similar are these model embryos from real ones?
Well, I think there lies the rub. They are similar but different.
Okay.
So they have some of the same genes that are expressed. So if you like the kind of genetic fingerprint of embryos, they have a lot of similarities, but they are not identical. So, for example, there are some types of cells within these structures that you don't usually see in an embryo. So that perhaps limits the value to some extent of the model. But from a scientific perspective, we use lots of different ways to answer particular questions in biology. And these models will provide a new way of answering, or at least providing some answers to questions around how does an embryo form?
Yeah, right. Okay, I was going to say, what might some of the uses for the model embryos be like? So further research with regards to that specific type of cell?
Well, I think, again, this is a really key question. The researchers are really wanting to understand how the cells interact and really try to understand what happens at the earliest stages of implantation and development, because that there's a very high rate of miscarriage and still a very high rate of infertility in the community. We're hoping that these cellular models will provide additional insights into those challenges. But also perhaps as a way of screening for drugs that could have toxic effects in development, perhaps identify drugs that can cause damage to pregnancy, like cause pregnancy loss, or perhaps even damage to children in utero.
Yeah.
So this is the idea. So could we take this discovery and now turn it into a tool that could be useful? And I think why I'm kind of labouring this point is I want to make it very clear that these structures, I don't believe that they are equivalent to embryos. They are not a new combination of genes that you get when you create and unite an egg and a sperm. They're really a copy of the genetic material of that donor that was made to use these structures. So from my perspective, they are quite different and they have a different status to, say, creating a conventional sperm egg embryo. And they're being used only in the laboratory. So there's no intention to develop this as a new way to make children.
Yeah,
so
right.
So just to be clear, when I'm talking about infertility, it's not to kind of make babies per se. It's to understand how and why and what goes wrong perhaps during development.
During that development stage. And I was going to say, I mean, other than the ethics around, you know, are these potential new people, which they're not, what are some of the other ethics surrounding this type of study? Like, can anyone donate their skin cells and you make sort of models from them?
So there's absolutely, I can't imagine a personalised medicine angle to this. So please don't line up to donate your skin cell to make little structures that, you know, represent perhaps a, I don't know, you in development, but that's not the purpose. I think we'll be using donated material and it'll be ethically under ethics oversight. And I think that's a really important point, is that whilst these structures are not embryos, they will require a degree of oversight through our current regulations that perhaps will ask more of the researchers to demonstrate what they're doing and why they're doing it than if you were just culturing a flask of skin cells.
I
think that's probably the right checks and balances. You know, this is a bit different. As you mentioned, for some people out there, this will have terrible connotations around sci-fi and the sort of exploitation of science and potentially people. So I just want to make it very clear that I think in Australia we have the right checks and balances. There is a discrete process already in place that researchers who want to extend the work, you know, having made this discovery, that they'll have to go through in order to do the research that they wish. So they'll have to basically justify what the benefit is, why they can't meet the goal that they wish to meet through any other means. So I think this sort of independent oversight through ethics committee and through this sort of licensing system that's been set up under the National Health and Medical Research Council will be very valuable in kind of just making sure and monitoring the progress in this area.
Yeah, it sounds quite phenomenal. And as a woman in her late 30s who has struggled with fertility, I find it incredible. When you were talking about that aspect of potentially the drug interaction of what happens to model embryos, I find that incredibly interesting. Dr. Megan Munsey, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's an incredible development and sure to deliver some really interesting results.
Thanks, Willie, for giving me the opportunity to put some of the science in context. I think it's really important we keep talking about the field as it develops and perhaps not get too carried away with the headlines, but have some good conversations around where we're really at. So delighted to join you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.